Okay, so let's talk about what we need to do, and we also need to talk about, our plans to communicate with the shepherd. I think those are
Okay.
the two important things. And in my view, the most important missing piece of the paper is explanation of the data, particularly, write back ordered and write back journaled, and their relative performance. I think we have to have a clear message there. I think the rest of the paper has a clear message, but that is not supported in the evaluation, perhaps because we didn't set up the experiments well. For instance, you mentioned something about having a really small journal. So we should try to avoid unrealistic configurations so that the core message is conveyed without any confusion.
Okay, so okay, you want to still list the other points, or should I specify what I'm trying to do about that?
Let's talk about what you're trying to do about that, and then we'll come to the other points.
Okay, well, I think there is a lot of confusion among the readers regarding why can write back journals be possibly worse than other policies for some cash prices. And as you said, that's just related to the journal size. So for that, I'm just planning to rerun those with a larger journal size, and then things will be, I mean, if the performance of the journal at Mode is always better, I don't think we have to explain anything. That's fairly obvious based on whatever we said before, right?
Yeah, exactly. The only point I would add to that is if we can support our reasoning with some data, as the reviewers asked, for instance, what is the right volume that goes to storage, then it makes it even clearer that, why Write Back Journal does better and why by so much, right?
Okay.
So when you're rerunning the experiments I think the one that we are talking about now is FileBench file server, which has the discrepancy in the relative performance, right?
Yes.
In that, if you can also present, collect additional data that points out what is the right volume, the volume of writes to network storage in each of the write policies, and the cache hit rate for each of the policies. I think those are the two things that would help us to support our conclusions. Do you think
Okay.
that data will be easy to get?
I mean, the good thing for now is that I haven't had to touch any line of code, but if I try to get that, I'll have to actually, get the numbers, read code, see where can I get those things, and
Yeah.
it will take some more effort. That's the problem.
Okay.
I was under the impression that we already had that.
Excuse me?
I was under the impression that we already had that. I think where you're unloading the module, you're keeping track of some statistics, and it has a hit ratio and how many evictions and related stats that you're printing out when you unload the module.
Do you know if we have that on the SVN repository, that those data are locked? I mean, the kernel locks with all the data?
I'm sorry, I didn't
Do
listen.
we have the logs for the previous runs with that? Were the unload messages logged somewhere that we can look at?
Actually, yes, we do. We do.
We do?
I have the machine
Okay.
configured
That's
to see.
great. Okay.
Yeah, the logs could can be found in Euler. The machine is configured to send every kernel message to Euler. So there we have if we haven't touched it, if it's still running, we have a file in which we're appending all the messages from Rayuela.
So basically we have a huge log file for every single run that we have.
No, we have a single file that is huge, in which we have all the messages sent by the kernel.
Yeah, the problem is that there is no labeling.
How do you correlate to yeah. whatever experiment you were doing? That's the issue.
All the information that you have is basically the right policy that you were using, but you don't know
which workload.
Which workload? Yes, unless you remember by the timestamp. But
yeah, okay. That's really challenging. Yeah, I don't think that's usable.
Well, at least we can use the last ones. Right.
Yeah.
These experiments have been running for hours now, so you should be able to know exactly which one is the last one.
For DPCC,
right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, this will happen, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should extract those numbers for TPCC and also note those numbers for any future experiments that we do. So right now we have about, you know, 3/4 of page of space that we can add two plots easily for write volume and cache hit rates for each of the policies for as many workloads as we can get this data for. So one chart for volume of writes to network storage, another chart for cache hit rates, and in each of those charts we'll have multiple workloads. And multiple policies.
Okay.
And that is what I'm hoping.
I have a bit of bad news.
Yeah.
The thing is that I won't have much time because something I did here messed up a bunch of stuff, so I have to work on that. At VMware. So, if I could relay all the stuff I'm doing right now to Leonardo would be great.
Well, I think the problem is that we've been trying to do that, but it's not happening as expected. There's always some gap in what Leo is being able to do and what you want him to do, and I'm not sure how to address that gap.
Okay. So I guess we need something like more specific tasks, and we can meet more frequently or something like that.
Yeah, that may be an option worth trying.
Okay.
But I'm a little concerned now because we don't have much time before the deadline and we haven't sent anything to the Shepherd yet. We'll talk about that next, but let's finish this discussion first about the evaluation. So, Ricardo,
What about the default system inspection? Were you able to read it?
I haven't read it yet because I wasn't sure if you're done with it. Are you done with that specific subsection?
Yes, I'm done with that.
Okay, so then I'll take a look at it. I'll take a look at it after we finish our meeting.
Okay.
So the next thing I want to talk about is the YCSB experiments and what we can do about those. It seems like, from what I understand at least, that with this new iSCSI target, we are losing all the differentiation between the write policies. So the performance of all of them seem to basically be the same. And so my question was...
I've been running experiments with Postmark and numbers make sense. So I wanted to know, right now I'm using the old iSCSI target or the new one?
What do you mean by the old or new?
The modified one or the original one?
We're using the modified one. That's the one that is installed.
So things are working fine, at least for Postmark.
Right. The problem that I'm having is that, as Ryu mentioned, I don't see any difference in throughput for the same workload, different policies. More interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm seeing differences for Postmark for example, write through compared to write back.
Yeah, I understood what you said. But when I was making the changes on the journal, the target journal, compiling and reinstalling the service, I also added some print statements to see whether it was executing the code and printing some values, and I couldn't get that to run. So I'm suspecting that code is not being executed correctly. It's not being executed at all.
Okay.
But even
so, I remember it's just a matter of. I mean, I don't remember quite well, but I think it was just like making stuff. That's it.
Yes, and that's what I have been doing too.
By the way, another thing is that, the D5 Cafe target has different types of backend storage, right? It could use files or disks as backend. And the only one that I modified is, I don't know, but I modified one of two, maybe disks or devices, I don't know.
Oh,
which one are you using?
Could be an issue.
I don't remember, but I'm assuming I'm using the device one because that's what we're exporting. We're exporting a device, not a file.
Okay, let's assume we fix that. I mean, that won't make much difference at the end because we are trying to find a small value that won't affect performance, right?
Yeah. I think even if you use the vanilla iSCSI target, you should see some performance difference.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is there any performance difference for the vanilla iSCSI target?
But even what we call the modifier is the vanilla because it's not being executed at code.
So it's possible that we are actually seeing the behavior for the vanilla iSCSI target. And for the vanilla iSCSI target, there seems to be no difference in performance across these policies.
Yes.
And that's the part that's very weird.
And I also try incrementing the number of operations so that the whole experiment runs for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I also try changing the size of the SSD. I mean, how much space on the SSD we utilize on the
mm-hmm.
client.
On the host. Right.
The host, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not affect the results.
That's
weird. By the way, I mean, you shouldn't be using too small cache or a too large cache, right?
Well, I tried with using 2 gigabytes, and the other try was using 8 gigabytes, and the performance was the same.
And more or less, what's the size of the working system? An approximation?
I don't know, because.
What is your question, Ricardo? What is the
size of the working set?
Well, an approximation, an approximate number of the working set size to see if 8 gigabytes is too large, too small.
I have no idea. But for this thing, it uses a SIGFN distribution. But still, we don't know what the size of the working. I don't know what's the size of the working set. Nor do I have control over that.
I mean, by the time you clean up your state for the new run, you have whatever files you were using on that run, right? Are those files too big? Does it take a while to delete?
Which files are you talking about?
Whatever file your workload was touching.
I don't operate on files. I do operations on the database, specifically on key value store. So it's up to the key value store to organize the data in files or blobs or whatever it uses.
And you don't touch the key value database at all. You don't mess with it.
No.
So what you do is, if I understand correctly, you created the key value store, populated with the data once, right? And then you run the workload many times.
No. What I'm doing is that I have to run the service of the database, which is the key value store. I create some basic structure that I need to have in order to run my benchmark, basically creating some tables and key spaces like that, things like that. And so that's the. After I have that, I go through the load process, which is populating the database, and then run. After I'm done with that, I destroy the database, recreate it, and run it again. So for every cycle in my loop, I create the database, I populate it, and execute my benchmark.
Okay, for every run.
For every run, yes. And of course, the dropping gashes and sinking and all the things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, that sounds.
I mean, the basic question is, at least for the first run, are you doing exactly the same as you did before for the reported data we have right now?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
If you do the same as you did before, you should get the same number. You don't have the same number. So the question is, what changed, right? Did the code change in the meanwhile? Did your configuration change? What changed?
Well, the configuration changed. It's a different version of the target. It's a different version of the kernel, and everything else changed. The only thing that remains the same is the SSD. The client is the same, but in the target is the different operating system. But we're using the same hardware to create the array to export as a discussive device.
Let's say I'm more concerned about RAM and disk. RAM and disk are exactly the same, right? Size of RAM and size of disk. Performance of disk.
The disks are the same. The RAM, I don't know. The RAM, I don't know. Before, I don't remember if we were capping the number, the RAM that we're using for the system. Now I'm just using whatever is available.
I remember having this discussion with you. I think you decided to use a very small RAM, like 512 megabytes or something like that. Because it could be that the whole thing is fitting in memory, you know?
That's an alternate explanation, that there are no IOs happening, or there are very little IOs happening, because the database, the benchmark is always running off of the host side memory. So I guess the question is, in the paper, do we have some details about the memory configuration for the YCSB? No. And you don't remember doing anything with it? With it capping the memory or?
I don't remember, but the previous configuration is already, it's still there. I didn't remove it. So potentially I could boot that kernel in and see what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be the first step for us to do, is to be able to differentiate the performance across these policies. And yeah, I see why Ricardo is saying that maybe that we are seeing memory cache effects. And if the memory cache effects are dominating and the IOs are all, let's say, either happening in the background or not at all, then all the policies will behave the same.
Another case would be that the SSD cache is so small that, I mean, all of the policies' performance is extremely bad and there's no difference among them, something like that.
Yeah, it's most likely the other way around, because the performance improved substantially. So most likely seems to be the case in which the cache is too big. I mean the RAM that we're using. So it's caching all the IOs.
So that's a possibility. At least we have some direction. But we need to verify this quickly to know if that's the right reasoning or not. It could be something
what
else.
Right now Postman and Salvage are working. What about we just move to Postman and Salvage for now?
What do you mean? You mean run the experiments on Postman and Salvage first?
Yeah.
I think we should go with that first. Run Postman and Salvage first, and then run the YCSB. I guess what you're saying is that we have only one machine. So we cannot run all of this at the same time, so we have to prioritize. I agree with that. I think we should do Postmark, FileBench, and TPCC, which may be done already. Get those out of the way, and then move on to these other benchmarks.
But I don't understand.
Let's have these numbers. let's pick okay, let's say let's pick a compilation of postmark, and let's have all data possible for a run of postmark, for runs of postmark at varying cash prices for all four policies. And for that run, we have hit ratios and write bandwidth to disk. And with that data plotted, then we decide to write something, or I don't know.
Right. I think we should probably do file bench first, because that will also help us to fix one of the existing plots, which is figure 15, where we have the performance of write back ordered and write back journal reversed.
I don't understand why we're not seeing a similar behavior in these benchmarks.
The YCSB?
Right, because these are IO intensive benchmarks too.
Right, but it could be possible that the YCSB benchmarks have smaller working set and they all fit in DRAM. And therefore, whatever effects we are seeing are memory effects. And IO effects are not visible. And that's why you don't see any difference in the, you know, regardless of the write policy you employ. Because those write policies only affect IO performance. So that's an explanation. We had to verify whether that's the right explanation or not. Other than that explanation, we don't have anything else to consider at this point.
In the ideal scenario, we want to have YCSB opening the devices and all direct, right? We want to skip all the cache. That would be the ideal scenario for us, right?
No. Well, it's not the ideal scenario. I think the ideal scenario is to have some DRAM, some caching effects going on, but at the same time also have I/O. Because caching is there. I mean, if we completely eliminate the DRAM caching layer, then, you know, first of all, our experiments will run a lot slower. And second, we may be seeing, you know, performance effects that may not be reflective of the original workload, which is supposed to be running with a cache on.
Okay.
So we need to have caching, but at the same time, you know, having a cache that subsumes the entire working set is not a realistic configuration. In reality, no one will buy, you know, so much RAM that, you know, everything fits in memory. It's just not cost effective.
Okay.
So that's one thing that you can perhaps try first, to check that hypothesis, if that hypothesis is true or not. And then we can move on to the postmark and file bench experiments. Because if that hypothesis is not true, then we need to, in the background, do some more thinking about what could be happening. And maybe come up with an alternate plan. And the alternate plan is possible that we revert to the original setup and just fill in the gaps for the missing data point in one of, or, no, actually, there was no missing data point in the YCSB benchmarks. There was only one issue with the write back ordered and journal performance being reversed in one of those personalities of YCSB, right? And I think...
And I'm sure that can be explained also about the journal size.
Yeah, the journal size is something that we, you know, we need to be careful about, because, I mean, having a really small journal size on the host side is not a realistic, or at least we do not want to be actually, you know, saying that that's the only possible configuration, that you need to have a small journal size. Right?
Well, I just remember something. The size of the memory RAM that we have to reduce is on the client side.
The host side, yeah.
I haven't touched that. That's the same client that we're using for all our benchmarks.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that you don't know if you capped memory
No, because I just remembered that what I changed was in the target, not in the client.
Right. So in the target, you changed the cache size, not the deep physical memory size, right?
Exactly. I mean, it was the journal size.
The journal size.
I mean, we changed. I did some changes on the target because we wanted to use the modified target.
Yeah.
I haven't touched the client, and the memory RAM that we're talking about here is in the client side.
Yeah, we are.
Well, no, but that client side changed it for example, for PPCC, I use 4 gigs. For Postmark, I use half a gig. I don't know what you use for YCSB. That change, that RAM size changes all the time. Every single time you have a new friend, you have to change RAM size. So
that's gonna be the reason. I never touch that. I just run the experiment with the late, with whatever configuration is at the moment, which most likely is whatever you left in the system in that state.
So it could be half or two.
It could be anything. Yeah.
It could be mixed, even worse.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to, you know, be careful about doing these experiments and time sharing the single machine that we have right now. Okay, so Ricardo, what do you suggest? Because it seems like you have some crisis going on at your end, and I don't want you to be losing your job.
I'll come back and run and have a quick run of Postmark. And varying cache sizes for all policies and getting as much data as I can. I'll get those numbers from 4 to 5.
Okay.
That's all the time I need for the computer, for the machine, from the machine, and then I'll get the numbers and I'll plot them at night and try to write something at night.
I have classes at 5 and my class finishes at 6:15. So if for some reason you need to...
Excuse me?
I'm going to have classes from 5 to 6:15. So if you need to use the computer out until that time, you're more than welcome to, because I'm not going to be using it. I'm going to be in class.
Yeah, but I think
I was talking about 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Oh, okay.
So you meant, I won't be able to do it earlier. Or I can do it any time after that.
So it will be from 7 to 8 our time?
Yeah, so you might as well, you know, wait for him to do the 7 to 8 slot.
Yes,
and then you can do you can do the YCSB experiments with reducing the physical DRAM size so that you see some IO effects. But I'm kind of surprised that we actually saw the differentiation in the previous version of the experiments. But I also remember that we had a lot of variability then. And we weren't doing certain steps of the experiments that, you know, we were supposed to do, right? So those numbers, as I understand, are not, we're not sure if they're reliable or not. Previous, yeah.
So the first step is to fix the size of the RAM, which I was not doing.
To stress the IO system.
Yes.
Right.
By the way, there are a lot of small editorial changes that need to be done in the paper.
Yeah.
Like, for example, figure to be removed, last figure, we wanted to change it, a lot of stuff that we should be working on as well.
Which figure are you talking about?
I think somebody mentioned that figure 12 is not being referenced anywhere in the paper.
Oh no, it is. The figure is not referenced, but it needs to be. I think there is one spot where we reference a wrong figure.
Okay, so
I was just waiting for you
to
finish. Yeah, I can fix all that, but I was waiting for you to finish your revision of the evaluation. Then I could do some of those editorial things. I know which figure you're talking about and what the reviewer was talking about.
Okay, so let's do this. So the evaluation section is you have the lock on the evaluation section, and I'll just get new figures and send it to everybody at night with a description of the figures. I mean, what would go in text in the paper.
Okay, what is the figure you're referring to now? Which figure is it?
I'll be adding, because I'm getting new data for Postmark. With all the extra stuff we want, heat ratios and the right bandwidth to the disk and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, with the new journal size, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And similarly, I think we'll have to do something for FileBench file server to fix the figure 15.
Actually, I'll better use just FileBench. That's easier. Okay, instead of FileBench.
Okay. Okay, so postmark stays the same as before.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have any inconsistencies in the observations.
Not that I saw, but I just had a glance through the comments. So, but I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Why don't you do the FileBench file server and replace the figure 15? Let's start with that.
Okay.
It's a very concrete task.
Okay.
And once you do that, once you have the new figure 15, then we can talk about what to do next.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so specifically I'll get a figure for figure 15 will be whatever we have now, plus two sub-figures below that for hit ratios and byte bandwidth, and I guess that will be enough to explain whatever's going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and for the two figures, you can fix the cache size. You don't need to do a sensitivity.
Well, actually, I already get the data for all of those, so
it doesn't matter.
For all the cache sizes.
Ideally, what I was hoping that we can do is to have two figures, one for write bandwidth to disk, for all write policies, and all workloads. At a fixed cache size, you know, for each of those workloads. And then
actually, it's not that it's easier, but I think it would be more interesting to have it at different cache sizes because at some cache sizes things make sense, at some other cache sizes things that don't make much sense for Postmark at least.
Okay, let's start with this and. And you're also replacing the TPCC figure, right? With the 4x improvement.
Yeah. By the way, I couldn't find that figure in the, but I'll look for it. It should be coming.
It should be in the one of the upper level directories.
Okay, I'll look for it. I'll look for it. Okay.
Okay. All right. So. When should we meet next? Should we meet tomorrow at some point? Because we need to send something out to the shepherd tomorrow. So are you available tomorrow afternoon sometime? Well, tomorrow is really difficult for me.
Tomorrow I will be available anytime, but except 3 to 4.
Can we meet 6:30 our time? 6:30 in the evening?
That will be 3:30 here?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can anytime except 3 to 4 here.
Okay, can we do 7 PM our time?
7 to 7:30
or something
okay.
Like that.
Seven PM is perfect.
Seven. Okay, so that's 4 PM for you.
Yes.
So this is much later than our usual time. So 4 PM for you and 7 PM for us.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so let's meet that. And I want us to send a version to the shepherd tomorrow. And if that means we send it without our evaluation section completely done, so be it. We can write a note to the shepherd saying that we are still working on the evaluation and these are the specific things that we intend to change over the last, in the last week.
Okay.
But she can look at the rest of it.
I have a quick question, Ricardo. Maybe you have an idea how to do this. Is there any easy way for me to determine the size of the working set for the different workloads that I have to run? Because I know that there's no parameter that I can modify on YCSB to change the size of the working set. Basically, what they have is
what I would do is that figure out what are the files that the database use. Just crash the experiment in the middle and see whatever the size of those files is.
The size of the files, you said?
Or whatever data store is the database using. I guess it should be using files.
Oh, you're talking about the files created by
the
database.
Yeah.
So
crashing the files and crashing the run in middle is required because the database might be cleaning up files afterwards. So
yeah.
Is that your point? Okay. So if you crash in middle,
yeah,
then you would have
point.
A state of the system where with modifications and so on that will give a more I guess, a more complete picture of the working set. So if you do, let's say, like a DU on the size of the database directory before and after the crash, then you might get the difference could tell you, how much data has changed, or even if just the difference would be a conservative estimate for the working set, but the working set could be bigger because the database might be overwriting existing files and you won't see that.
Yeah, but I mean, we just want an approximate idea, so I guess that's enough. Because we don't even know if we are below the gigabyte or 10 gigabyte. We have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, the only issue I see here is that if the database just keeps overwriting its existing files, then we may get a significant underestimate of the working
set. Or you could start with a clean database, for example.
Well, even so, right? I mean, so you're saying that the database might be doing some logging and so all of those should make entries into files and you should see all that. Yeah, but maybe.
I guess I'm just going to set it to 512 megabytes of RAM
and run it and see what happens.
Yes.
And do you see difference in performance?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to do that instead.
Yeah.
And by the way, right now RAM is configured to 2 gigs, so you have to change it to anything you want.
Okay.
All right. So Ricardo, Leo has the machines until, what is that? Because you have class, you can't use the machines either. Okay, so Ricardo, you get to use the machines until 8 now, until your 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's talk tomorrow evening.
Okay, Sam first.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.